Is Jackie and Team Mac here?
Everyone's here.
Yes.
All right.
We're calling McMahon Team Mac now?
I like calling Team Mac. Okay.
That's an old Steiny thing.
I was so excited because I was going to talk about the Draymond Green Tony Robbins kiss. That was going to be my leadoff here.
I think that got buried.
Did you see that?
No.
So Uninterrupted did like a little documentary where they went behind the scenes with Draymond and LeBron during the finals. And after, Tony Robbins was at game one. And I have to admit, I didn't really recognize him because I'm used to seeing him with that coif and he was wearing a hat. But he comes into the locker room and this camera is on and Draymond does not recognize him.
I wouldn't.
And he comes up and he kisses Draymond on the neck.
What the world?
And Draymond allows it, which is very strange. And then he walks away. He congratulates him on the game. And then he walks away, and Draymond looks at the camera and says, "Was that Tony Robbins?" He didn't even know who it was.
We ain't cut from the same cloth.
So apparently, Tony Robbins can just go up and kiss people on the neck without. But it's also a very strange thing to do, to kiss them on the neck. Very strange.
Yeah, I tend to greet people like handshakes or fist bumps or stuff like that.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. It's a Friday. We're still talking about the NBA. Got some action here today, ladies and gentlemen. Running the show in Los Angeles is Andrew Hahn, back from his first ever trip to Cleveland. I'm sure you're still basking in the glory that it is.
Cleveland's it's a lovely city for a week in June.
Mm-hmm. If you don't like it in June, you're never going to like it. And so, someone who's been to Cleveland about 400 times in her career, but joining us, are you on the shore today, Jackie? It seems like today would be a good day to be on the shore.
You know what? I arrived 5 minutes before this podcast began. So, yes,
this
I'm
is cool.
Gazing out. It is. And the new deck that you never got to sip a seltzer with me, Brian, that's you. And T-Mac, I know you would have had something better than that. So we had this opportunity, had Boston in advance. We had it all planned out, the Hoop Collective on my deck.
It was going to be
Plum
great.
Island. It was going to be, we'll always have what? Nothing. We have nothing.
In Plum Island, Massachusetts, it's Jackie McMullen. Are there any plums on Plum Island? Is that why?
Plum bushes. Now, fancy. And this is not to be confused with the Plum Island that started the whole Lyme disease fiasco in New York. Do not confuse the two. This is in Newbury, Massachusetts, and it is just fantastic because there's no parking. So no one ever comes to this beach because there's no place to park. So it is this fabulous beach.
Perfect.
With very few people on it. Yep. Someday you'll see it. Maybe someday
soon. Will. It'll happen.
It will.
Speaking of Lyme disease, yesterday there were golfers who were hitting they're playing the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, which is out on Long Island in Southampton. And there were golfers who were hitting the ball into like the hay, and they were losing their ball, and some people didn't always want to help because they were afraid of getting ticks and Lyme disease.
Yeah, it's not a fun thing.
No kidding. And in Dallas, Texas, back home where he belongs, it's Ban McMahon.
He's Ban McMahon, Ban McMahon. He's the fattest dude in all the land. He got Texas blood as thick as mud.
Howdy.
So speaking of Texas, this has been something I wouldn't say I expected it today, but certainly we've been watching this and knowing about this for a while. Kawhi Leonard, it seems like through the media, but I assume that he also spoke to the Spurs. But
no,
either...
actually has not spoken to the Spurs yet.
Okay, that's new information for me.
Being widely reported.
Well, I'm not keeping up with every second. But anyway, Kawhi Leonard has asked to be traded from the Spurs. This is strategic because we are 6 days before the draft. And if the Spurs wanted to act in involving draft picks, it gives them some time to do it. What do you guys think about this, and what do you think this is going to mean?
I saw it coming. I mean, this was a riff that is absolutely bizarre. Uncle Dennis is calling the shots, and it, because of that, I think it was a relationship that just couldn't be repaired. I think that the way that that Kawhi's camp, i.e. Uncle Dennis and company, are dragging the Spurs through the mud is absolutely ridiculous. Like, this isn't a franchise with one hell of a track record. Like, this isn't a franchise that invented DNP rest, that, you know, kept Tim Duncan for 20 years, Ginobili for forever, Tony Parker has inspired loyalty among all kinds of players. I mean, I think Kawhi's reputation is going to take a hit, but if he goes somewhere, L.A., Boston, wherever, and wins, it doesn't really matter. But this idea that Kawhi and his camp of amateurs are going to be able to bully the Spurs into making a trade that's not going to be market value, I'd tap the brakes on all that. I mean, those folks in San Antonio know what they're doing. And as much as the Lakers have leverage because that's where Kawhi wants to go, the Spurs have some leverage too. Number one, they're not. I mean, they can talk to other teams. Number two, the Lakers have a deadline of sorts. They want Kawhi before free agency gets started for obvious reasons.
It's all true. Everything he says is true. I'm a little surprised, and I guess it's because maybe I have naive faith in the San Antonio Spurs. But they've been through a lot here in the last few months with Kawhi, and I'm sure Pop is still grieving. I'm not using that as an excuse or anything. I thought it was because of what they've been dealing with personally, that what Pop has been dealing with personally, that maybe it would make Kawhi think twice about, hey, you know what really matters? But, of course, that's all silly and naive. And I just thought if Kawhi got in a room alone with Pop, with Greg Popovich, that they could smooth it out. And you know what? That's probably exactly why it never happened.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clear that his camp, and again, we're talking primarily about Uncle Dennis, who's become the shot caller over the last year or so, wanted him out of San Antonio. And I mean, the Spurs' frustration was painfully obvious because this is as tight-lipped an organization as there is in the NBA, if not all of sports. And, you know, for a lot of the season, you had Pop delivering pretty thinly veiled messages to Kawhi via the media, which told you just how much communication had
broken
down. Well,
the Tony Parker line was pretty – that was a missile where he said that my – did he say it was 20 times worse or 100?
I thought he said 1,000 times, but regardless. No. Basically, he said he essentially said, look, I've been playing for most of the season. I was hurt a hell of a lot worse than – Kawhi. I mean, the whole thing is, and then you had Kawhi spending most of his time at the Players Association gym in New York when the Spurs season's going on and the Spurs are in the play. I mean, the whole thing was just a complete breakdown of a relationship, and it's shocking in that it's the Spurs who have, you know, for two decades have had precious little drama, and then, you know, people thought because Kawhi was quiet that he was kind of the next low maintenance franchise centerpiece for the Spurs, from Robinson to Duncan to Kawhi. It just seemed like this natural progression. But the fact is, nobody really knows Kawhi. He's quiet, so nobody really knows him. And I think there's been some things revealed about his personality and his I don't necessarily want to say character, but I can't think of a better word, over the last several months.
So I actually think this is actually pretty cut and dry. 2 days ago, I think, sometime earlier this week, Woj came out with a story, was talking about, it was sort of an update on the Spurs and Kawhi, and it was mentioned in there that the Spurs did not intend to offer Kawhi the Supermax this year, that they would want to see him mm-hmm. go through a season. And I, knowing Woj and knowing how strong of a reporter he is, I think that was probably a direct line from the Spurs. And since they're communicating through the media, I wonder if that was something that they heard the first time there. But at the very least, as soon as I read that, which was that the Spurs, at least at that moment, at least in the moment of that story coming out, did not intend to offer Kawhi the Supermax. I knew they were done because really, and I've felt this way for months now. I mean, there's definitely been events that have happened on both sides. Jackie mentioned the death of Greg Popovich's wife, and that Kawhi came to the memorial service for it, and you know that could have been a building block moment. All that stuff aside, if they weren't willing to pay him the Supermax, Kawhi has no motivation to sign it. And if Kawhi has no motivation to sign it, we're going to be at this spot. It doesn't necessarily mean that Kawhi had to demand a trade this way. This could have played out over a longer period of time, but it really was sort of elementary. I think that I'd say the same thing about what's happening, and I don't want to go off on the Kyrie jag right now, but when the Celtics traded for Kyrie Irving with 2 years left on his contract and the extension rules the way they were, we knew that there was eventually going to be a year where Kyrie was going to play without an extension because even if Kyrie had played in every single game this year, even if the Celtics had won the title and Kyrie had won Finals MVP, he would not have signed the extension.
No,
$80 million. Yeah, $80 million. Reasons why. Yeah.
I mean, it would be the worst financial decision that he could possibly make. Now, the Spurs, though, this is clearly a case with them not being willing to put that on the table. Now, that's them saying, Kawhi, you went MIA on us this year. We can't trust you. We're not putting $219 million. And hoping that you'll be on the table, and hoping you'll be
true,
in the same
McMahon,
city as
that's
us.
That's true, but at the end of the day, the talent is always going to have the leverage here, always.
Right, but you knew going into this, and you're right. When you saw that, you knew it was going to, because they couldn't go another year of this "we don't trust each other" thing. This summer had to either be extension, and if you're Kawhi, you're not taking less than Supermax, or trade. So. Mm-hmm. You know,
The Spurs don't have to acquiesce, and they don't have to acquiesce.
No, they don't
today.
Nope.
Or now. I mean, before the draft. That's important to realize.
And that's the difference between them and Cleveland, because they're not going to panic. They're not going to panic. They've thought this through. You know, they have. They've thought this through 25 different ways, and they probably know all the potential scenarios better than we do. And so, even though they know all that, that doesn't mean they have to do anything now.
And just because the Lakers are the preferred destination, you know, you can get the Clippers involved. You still can get Boston involved, and there will be a lot of reasons.
Well, let's unpack that. Andrew, did you want to say something?
I wanted to say something about the Boston thing, because that was what Woj hinted at in that story earlier this week, that Boston was interested in trading for Kawhi at the deadline, and then Woj is tweeting again. Yeah.
Jackie, what do you think that offer could have been at the deadline?
Well, I would guess it involved the pick. It would had to have involved one of the young players. But the fact that the Spurs wouldn't even entertain it tells me we'll probably never know. Now, remember, all the way back, early in Jaylen Brown's rookie year, how effusive the Spurs were in their praise of him. Yeah. And we had heard word way, way back then that even in Jaylen Brown's rookie year, they were interested in Jaylen Brown. Now, Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard is not as good a year as Jaylen Brown had. That's not going to cut it.
Well, and salary-wise, it's a long way apart.
Right, but that always can be worked out. You know, there's flotsam and jetsam, and I don't mean to disparage the throw-in players, but you can always make the numbers work. That you have a third team involved, or you get players from your own team. That's not it so much. It's just you got to give more than that. I mean,
do you think there's
Leonard,
any way that they would put Tatum on the table?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
I don't know. I was asked that question 500 times during the course of this year, because we've all known that Danny. But can I just say too, by the way, that you don't think. I mean, we know about Boston being the team that was interested in Kawhi Leonard, the trade deal. Now, let me ask you guys. You guys have been around a long time. Do you honestly believe they were the only team that inquired about Kawhi Leonard?
No, absolutely not.
So isn't it interesting that that's the one team we heard about? Now, why would that be?
Well, perhaps because even though it's not the quote-unquote preferred destination, it is certainly an attractive destination. a destination with a ton of assets.
Maybe that's where the Spurs want to trade.
That's what I think the Spurs.
Threat to the Lakers, saying, there ain't going to be no discounts here, buddy.
But see, I think it's from the Spurs end of things.
Yes, because absolutely. It's about establishing a legitimate market.
And also, assets upon assets upon assets. We've been talking about this before at the Celtics, not just young players, but also draft pick and also veterans.
Mm-hmm. So let's before we go into team by team on these potential deals, there's a couple things I want to point out. Number one, Kawhi, if he gets traded, loses the possibility of a supermax, which, as a side note, the supermax ain't doing what the league thought it would. Now James Harden and John Wall took it. Paul George passed. Chris Paul passed. LeBron James is in the position where he could pass. This is a – well, actually, LeBron and Chris Paul wouldn't have qualified for it because it wouldn't have been 7-9. But certainly the concept of getting more money than anywhere else, LeBron and Chris Paul could pass. Mm-hmm. Actually, take Chris Paul out of that. I don't think I'm thinking that through correctly.
Well,
because anyway,
Chris Paul could – if the Rockets put five on the table, Chris Paul could end up coming out like roses here.
Right. I'm the Supermax is only – relevant if you have less than 10 years service. If you have 10 years service, you're going to get the max anyway.
That's it. That's exactly right. And that's why Paul, do you think Chris, the idea that Chris Paul gave up anything to go to Houston last year to me was,
well, he did
laughable.
Actually. He did because
he gave up salary last year.
Yeah.
But
that's
he
right.
also,
yeah,
but he, essentially, he gave himself an opportunity to
the
be
difference in the taxes.
A 6-year deal.
Right. The difference in the taxes there is relevant, but let's not go into all that right now. Here's the thing with Kawhi. If he gets traded, he can't get the supermax. Okay, that's number one. That's going to cost him significant money. Number two, he can't extend when he gets traded. Even if he goes to the place he wants to go, and even if they're throwing roses at each other, he can't extend. He has to wait 6 months to extend. So let's just say the trade goes down July 1st. He couldn't extend until January 1st.
Right.
No matter what. Now, obviously, we know that a lot of things can happen in 6 months. And then thirdly, I want to point out, certainly, there's always wink-wink deals. You can always
I was going to say, stop right there.
Okay.
Every deal that's ever been made, including the Chris Paul opt-in deal, which was done 2 weeks before it was legal. Come on now.
Okay. But let me just say this. How do you feel about making a wink-wink deal with Uncle Dennis? Do you feel okay about that?
There is significant risk there. Because this isn't a guy who, it's not like he has other clients.
And by the way, we should just call him Dennis Robertson. I don't really like calling him Uncle Dennis. He's an agent. He's representing him now. Yes, he's his uncle. That's not super duper relevant other than the fact that he's known him his whole life. I'm just going to call him Dennis Robertson from now on. His agent, Dennis Robertson,
I'll call him Uncle Dennis because I'm pretty sure that's how he got him as a client.
Well, he has not done this before. This is not like doing a deal with a wink-wink deal, which happens every day with an agent who is, you've done 15, 20 deals with over the past 10
years. And you'll be doing business with in the future, so there's an importance of a relationship that there's mutual trust.
Okay, so those facts need to be out on the table first. Now let's sort of look at the teams. Let's start with Boston.
Let me ask you this. We're talking young assets and picks from Boston. Kyrie and Kawhi are perfect salary matches.
Right.
And they're both coming off of injury.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but there was discussion about it. And Wendy, I want to say you were the one reporting on this. Hasn't there been ties with Kyrie and the Spurs before?
Yeah, when the Chris Paul thing, right around the Chris Paul thing. They were interested in Kyrie when the word got out that Kyrie was available.
I believe the Spurs were on Kyrie's quote-unquote list.
Right, okay. I think that might make some sense.
Well, there's also mutual accepted risk there because both players are on one-year deals.
Which injuries are you more concerned about, Kyrie's or Kawhi's?
Good question. Kyrie's probably, but
medically Kyrie, mentally Kawhi.
In all honesty, if I were the Spurs and I elected to make that trade, I would also ask for a draft pick just because I don't think Kyrie's the player that Kawhi is.
Well, and because Boston
You wouldn't do that straight up.
Right.
I don't think, if you're the Spurs.
Well, I've seen some people say straight up, because as McMahon just said, you know, that works for each other. But
it's a perfect salary match. So that, I mean, it makes it simple. But yeah, I mean, you're asking for a pick from Boston.
The Kings pick next year is probably the one you're asking for. Yeah.
Oh, no way. No way.
There's no, yeah, they ain't giving that up.
Now that's too much.
No, maybe like the Celtics pick that they have this year.
Well, they have a Memphis pick.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
We can negotiate. Pick too now.
All right, we can negotiate, but they're not getting that Kings pick. So, Jackie, what do you give me your viewpoint on what you think the Celtics would offer?
Yeah, so you know, I'm coming in this a little blind because I haven't talked about this with anybody from the Celtics, but I just know Danny. Okay, I know that man, and you know he really wasn't intending, or so he says. He didn't go out looking to trade Isaiah Thomas, but obviously you had to make that deal, right? That's obvious. Mm-hmm. But the one thing about Danny that's interesting is he never promised Isaiah Thomas anything. And there was a reason for that. And you know, all these interviews that Kyrie Irving's done over the last few days for his Uncle Drew movie and not committing to Boston, we talked about that. There's a salary thing there.
Yeah.
But very hesitant to say, man, I love it here. This has been great. This, you know, I want to be here forever and all those things. He didn't say any of those things. And it was a little odd to me. But he probably knew about this, you know? He also knew that the Celtics allegedly or possibly were going to talk to LeBron James, and that would tick you off too, right?
Well, he also thinks the earth is flat, so he says, you know, he's kind of out there sometimes.
Celtics make sense is because they have degrees of great young talent, right? So I think we'd all agree. Tatum. I mean, Tatum versus Jaylen Brown. We're taking Tatum, right?
Well, Jackie, just rank the value of the Celtics' assets. Just do a quick one through five ranking.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Yeah, so, you know, Tatum's one in my book, but Jaylen Brown is right behind him at two. Okay.
Well, but that Kings pick's pretty high up there too now.
Well, yeah, but that
Kings pick is doesn't exist. It's, you know, it's out there.
It's made up until it becomes something. You know, the Kings – maybe they catch lightning in a bottle, just enough to win enough games, just like the Brooklyn pick. The Brooklyn pick, we all were like, oh, that's such a valuable pick, and then they traded it to Cleveland. Everybody's like, I don't know if Danny should have done it. I'm like, it's not going to be a number one pick. They got a really good coach. They're moving in the right direction. They have a great GM in Sean Marks. Like, it's not going to be the one or two pick, and it wasn't.
I don't put that in their top three assets. I still think
Kyrie.
Real players.
Oh, okay. But I'm talking about – people that, all right, so well, that's a whole different story, okay? Kyrie, I would put Kyrie ahead of Jaylen Brown.
Me too.
Kyrie's a transcendent player.
Me too.
I thought you were talking about young, you know, draft picks.
No,
you
know. Rank all the assets that the Celtics have, that they have.
Well,
that's
a whole different thing. So I might, now I'm going to start with Kyrie 1 because he's
pretty. I'm not. I have Tatum 1.
Yeah, I love Tatum. Tatum 1.
Oh, wait, I'm going to go with Kyrie 1, Tatum 2. Now you got Jaylen Brown 3, Sacramento 4, and Al Horford. I haven't even talked about Gordon Hayward yet. Wow.
So, well, but there's some risk with Hayward because that is a huge, huge contract and is coming back from a major injury.
Right,
you didn't even mention Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier is a valuable trade chip.
He's not on the level. He's not on the level of those guys we just.
No, but if he's your sixth or seventh most valuable trade chip, you're doing all right.
Here's just a list, okay? They have the number 27 overall pick this year, their own. 2019, they get the Sacramento pick. They have the Grizzlies pick if it goes outside the top 8. The Clippers pick if it goes outside the top 14. Now, again, not great picks, but just multiple picks is my point.
Yeah.
And then
their
own pick. So four first-round picks next June.
So Boston has a lot of options. All right, now
Tons.
Okay.
You want to go to L.A. now?
Well, hold on. I'm just going to say real quick. In my mind, if I'm Boston, Tatum is untouchable. The Sacramento pick is untouchable. And I would protect Al Horford because he's so important to me. I'd protect Al Horford. Everything else, I'd be willing to talk about. And I think for San Antonio.
There's tremendous value to be had there.
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Andrew, I think you know by now that when it comes to shirts, I'm a custom-made man.
I knew you were made man, but now I know you're a custom made man.
Are you a custom made man, Andrew Hahn?
I don't. I need a few more shekels from this podcast game.
Well, I have to tell you, when that day arrives, because that day will come, you know who you need to go to.
Where's that?
In a chino.
So, Brian, as a custom-made gentleman, what's the difference between...
thank you for calling me a gentleman.
Between custom-made attire and off-the-rack.
You know, you may not think that much if you buy off-the-rack because, you know, you get your clothes tailored when you buy a suit. You know, you get the pant and sleeve length tailored. But the fit is just so much better. And if you look at pictures, you know, people who have custom-made suits versus people, you know, before you had them, you go back and look at pictures when you wore off the rack, and you can just tell the fit just isn't the same. You know, the fit just looks better. It looks cleaner. Everything, you know, just works better. Plus, it's just a little higher quality, and it's not really that expensive. It's not, you know, it's not so much money that it's impossible. It's not unattainable. It's actually relatively reasonable if you know to go to the right company. And Indochino is one of those companies, Andrew.
Huh. Okay. I mean, I'll say this, that I have tried on expensive, quote unquote, expensive clothing in the past. Stuff like maybe some of the stuff that the Cavs were wearing in the playoffs.
And yes, I see.
Yeah. If they, I'll wholeheartedly agree with you. If no matter how expensive the outfit is, if it doesn't fit you perfectly, then it just doesn't look that good. Like the fit might be the most important thing.
So here's how you do it at Indochino. You can go to their showroom. They've got them in several places across the country. I know we were near one in San Francisco during the finals. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to Indochino.com, and there you pick your fabric, choose your customizations, then you send your measurements, and it gets sent to you in a few weeks. It takes them a little while to make it. You know, they make it to order, made to measure, so it does take more than 15 minutes, but that's the way you do it. That's the modern man. That's the millennial man right there, Andrew Hahn. Custom made suit over the internet. This week, the listeners to the Hoop Collective can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when entering Hoop at checkout. That's HOOP. 50% off the regular price for made to measure premium suit. And the shipping is free. So that's Indochino.com, promo code HOOP, for any premium suit for just $379 with free shipping. That's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
$379 is actually, like, that's really cheap. Like, I'm trying to think the last time that I got a well-made, a well-fitting suit for that price, and I can't think of one.
Well, there's, you know, different fabrics are going to cost different amounts. But I will say that if a suit fits you well at that price, just about any fabric at that price point is pretty good because you know that it'll fit well. And it's up to you to pick the style. Now, your style, that's a whole nother conversation. You got to pick the style that looks good for you. But Indochino can help you out with that too if you are in their stores. But, yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah, I mean, you might be familiar with this, but like a lot of people in the past have always said, like, oh, you go to Thailand, you go to Hong Kong, they'll take your measurements, and then like it's like $400 a suit, and it'll be perfect. And it's like Indochino already beats that, which seems crazy.
Yes, I wouldn't say Thailand, I would say Hong Kong, but you go to Thailand if you want to, Andrew. I'm not going to slow you down. All right, so let's talk about L.A. Now, Woj says he prefers the Lakers, but he's from Riverside, which is, you know, L.A. area. It's LA's essentially home. It's a hell of a lot closer to home than San Antonio. But so that's kind of the connection for L.A. Let's first off talk about the Lakers.
Ingram to me is their most valuable asset.
I agree. And Kuzma number two in my mind.
What? I wonder, and especially given the trouble that the Spurs have had recently with a relative who is acting as a shot caller, I wonder if they would want to touch Lonzo Ball with a 10-foot pole.
Well, here's my thing. If I'm San Antonio, I'm not taking Luol Deng.
No.
They're gonna have to waive him and stretch him out, don't you?
That's your problem to deal with. I'm not making a bad financial trade.
Let's be clear about that. Even if the Lakers were willing to include multiple picks, they have the Cavs pick this year that they can trade. That's like 24. It's not that valuable,
right? And you're thinking they're going to be able to if it ain't LeBron, they're going to be able to put together a team that's going to be picking in the 20s or so,
right? It's not that exciting to get there. So even if like what I'm saying is
even if it's offer, three of them, yeah,
I'm just not that excited about it.
But I'm excited about Ingram. I'm excited about Kuzma. I like Josh Hart as a role player. I mean, young talent.
Lonzo Ball isn't as bad as we remembered. That's the best way I can put it. We haven't seen the best of Lonzo Ball yet.
They can get there with Lonzo and Ingram. That trade works.
I think they could get there with Ingram, Lonzo, Kuzma, Hart. And you can add, I don't know how to pronounce the big's name. Like basically their whole young core.
You could do that.
Zubac.
If I were the Lakers, I wouldn't want to give Ingram and Kuzma. But if I were the Spurs, I would want Ingram and Kuzma. However,
absolutely,
you can't do the deal for just those two. If you include Ball, you could.
Kuzma makes next to nothing. He makes like made 1.4 this year. He's just low dollars. You might have to do some other things first. And here's the thing: it's just if you're Kawhi Leonard, you're saying I want my preference is the Lakers. But isn't that because you've already talked to LeBron or Paul George or both, and they're like, we're coming?
So the interesting thing here is, yes, you would think that the players are talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say this though. I'd have to do the math here. I think if they stretch Deng and they do Lonzo, let's just say Lonzo, Ingram, and Kuzma, I'm not sure they have enough
they might be wanting to throw in Zubac and Josh Hart just to get off the money, even though
the money's so low.
They can get there.
I mean,
they can get there.
We don't have to.
I think they can.
We don't have to get into the QuickBooks accounting weeds on all of
good
this.
Good job,
stuff.
Andrew.
It's what we do, Andrew. Leave us alone.
So, but here's the thing: like, I don't really think that's the best deal that the Spurs can make.
I agree.
Of course not.
I wonder. I would love to know, and we'll probably never find out. But I would love to know how much value the Spurs place in Lonzo Ball, not just because of the whole LeVar baggage that comes along with them, but they've done a nice job developing DeJounte Murray. And how many 6'6" point guards with jumpers that need a lot of work can you have on a roster? You know?
Fair question.
Well, so let me just bring something else up. I want you, this is just game theory. Let's say the Spurs are negotiating with the Celtics and the Lakers, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Celtics are saying, we'll send you Kyrie, but we're not sending you anything else because it could be a one-year rental, okay? But you know as you're negotiating with the Celtics that there's more to get.
Yeah.
You know? At least in terms of picks. And if Kawhi says, all right, I intend to stay with the Celtics long-term, that can be something that can elicit more assets. Okay, do you understand that? Let's look at LA. LA makes their best offer. Okay, whatever it is, let's say it's Ingram, Kuzma, and Lonzo. How do they? That's the best they can make. There's no sweetener there. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, it's...
Yes,
it's,
nobody
I
else.
Mean, there is.
There's practically nobody else on their roster.
That's
Lopez
right.
Lopez is up. Caldwell Pope is up.
Well, like I said, Hart's Thomas a sweetener. Hart's a guy who you could certainly
not
envision
being
a quality role player.
Like the Memphis pick. You know, I'm just
no,
saying, like...
No,
yeah.
No. And you know, they could say, okay, fine, we'll throw in a couple of our number ones. And, you know, if the things work out the way that the Lakers hope, you're talking about number 29 or 30 for the next, you know,
I just don't...
Whatever.
What's the incentive for the Spurs to make Kawhi happy?
None.
That's not true. That's not true. The incentive is that you get a better trade. Okay. If Kawhi was going to them and saying, I want to play for the Celtics, I will sign long term for the Celtics, that makes him more valuable to the Celtics,
right.
And the Celtics are more willing to give more money. But if there's no advantage, if there's no other piece that you're trying to get, what is the motivation for making Kawhi happy? That's why I think the Lakers trade is a bit of a tall order. Because the Celtics can or the Spurs can make a better trade, and they're not incentivized. They are incentivized maybe elsewhere, but they are not incentivized to acquiesce to Kawhi.
Well,
the Lakers
deal is largely dependent on what the Spurs think of Ingram and Lonzo. If they think that those guys are,
and I'm sorry, to me, Lonzo is the real wild card for the reasons that I mentioned. Two different reasons. One, because kind of the whole LeVar issue, and do you want to deal with all that drama? And he is, I'm not saying DeJounte Murray's got as much potential, but there are pretty significant similarities between those two players.
Brian, before we continue to litigate this, are there any other realistic people you think?
Clippers.
What about the Sixers?
Yes,
that's another one.
Well, hold on.
Brett Brown has a great relationship with Kawhi. They still talk.
Yeah, let's stay in LA first. Let's talk about the Clippers.
Okay.
The Blake Griffin package.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Clippers are pretty straightforward. It's like they have two lottery picks, and then, like, what players do you want?
Tobias Harris.
I'd want Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
I'd want Tobias. I've been looking at the Clippers roster because – you know, they're a team that could potentially trade up in the draft. To me, if I was ranking the Clippers assets, now remember Tobias Harris only has 1 year on his contract. So that's a limited contract, but he is a stretch four man. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He makes good money though. He's up around 15, isn't he, Brian? He's
a little over that.
I like Harrell. How do you pronounce
Montrezl
Harrell?
Montrezl Harrell. Too, but how much do we like? Let's talk about okay? We like him because he's an energy guy. He's not a game changing.
I agree, but
and
I'm just
he's up. He's up anyway. And Avery Bradley, you might like, but he's up too. Lou Williams. I like Lou Williams. The poor guy is going to get traded again.
Yeah, right. He signed that kind of discounted deal.
Although
it's not discounting this market.
I'd ask for Tobias Harris and the two picks. I know you probably wouldn't get all that, but that's what I'd ask for.
Well, I think you would get all that. I think you'd get all that.
I don't think that's enough.
I need more, especially if you've got the Celtics and Lakers involved. I think.
Well, it depends on how the Spurs feel about this draft, or if the Spurs think they could take those two picks and
those
shop
picks
them.
Are what 12 and 13? Is that right?
13, yeah. 12 and 13. Yeah.
So I just don't see that. But
I agree.
Let's talk about the Sixers.
Okay, that's good. Go ahead, Jim.
Because Brett Brown, strong ties, as far as I know, still does very well with Kawhi. They've got a new GM coming and all that. So let's rate their assets. So clearly Joel and Embiid.
There's two untouchables.
Embiid. And
yes.
Who else?
Ben Simmons.
And Simmons.
Right.
All right, but is he untouchable if you get Kawhi Leonard, guys?
I don't even trade him if I knew for sure he was extending.
Yeah, as a 1 year rental, and think you got a decent chance to keep him. To me, Simmons, I would say absolutely they're untouchable. Those two,
let's
I would
point
say
something
right.
out. The Sixers have six picks in this draft. Now, two of the second round picks are in the 50s, but they have number 10 and number 27. So number 10 pick in this draft, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's a nice one.
And so to me, you include, in my mind, you include Jared Bayless for salary. He's in there for ballast, okay? And then there's two pieces.
Saric.
Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for the number 10 no matter what.
Yeah.
And then Saric or Fultz, and then maybe they could ask for one of the other young pieces that maybe that you know they like, I don't know, Rashawn Holmes or something like that. Or yeah. You could go another route and you could say, hey, listen, we're not taking Bayless. We want Covington and then a young piece. But I don't know
but if Covington's Covington's money is pretty hefty. He makes a lot of money.
Actually, he has a really nice contract, Jackie. It was front-loaded, and I think it was like $18 million this year, but it goes down to like $10
million. Yeah.
Was it like 10 or 11 right. million next
year? Yeah, because I mean, I get that he's a Spurs guy. I mean, see, I love Saric, and the reason I love him so much, I loved him anyway. But then when Simmons came in, you know, the two of them trying to play together, if you remember early in the year, they really struggled to do that. They really had trouble. And Saric figured it out. He figured it out and really was a really valuable guy for them.
I really like Saric. To me, I may rather – considering – see, I think DeJounte Murray is their point guard for a long time.
I agree.
And yeah. So to me, if it were me, I'd want Saric in the number 10.
But Saric's money is much different. I mean, it's not very true.
But you got to
throw some stuff in.
What's I'm saying? You have Bayless as
maybe
the
ballast. Maybe you convince him to give you T.J. McConnell. Doesn't he have Spurs written all over him?
I think Saric has Spurs written all over him.
So do I. Well, we've already established him, but who's our throw-in? I said give him TJ. Isn't it?
Let's put it this way. If you're trying to trade for Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs say you have to give us TJ McConnell, TJ McConnell.
Yeah.
No, you know what I'm saying. I'm just trying
you'll get him a limo to the airport.
Just trying to make the numbers work.
Right.
Numbers.
Jared Bayless, I think, makes $9 million. Because Kawhi's number is $20 million next year, so I think you need $15 million. So between Saric and Bayless, you may not quite be there. You may have to add another
player. No, you don't. Saric doesn't make any money at all, man.
But I think Fultz is interesting.
Yeah, it depends on what the Spurs think of Fultz.
Also, what the Sixers think of Fultz.
Well, the Sixers don't like Fultz more than they like Kawhi. To me, what you're fighting off is them asking for Fultz and Saric.
Yeah, and them Fultz, this would be a total buy-low move on the guy who was a freaking number one overall pick, and you
I don't know if it's buy-low if you're trading Kawhi Leonard for him.
If he's the second player in a trade, plus you're getting a pick, a lot.
But again, going back to the negotiations here, if you're the Spurs, you're going to say, no. It's not Saric or Fultz and the 10. It's all three. And then if you're the Sixers, you say, but Pop, we're taking a gamble here.
Right.
He's only got 1 year on his contract. And so, again, this is how this goes into it. If Kawhi were to pledge and say, I give my undying loyalty to the city of Philadelphia and I will sign, and you know that you're going to have him, and you feel strongly about it, and you trust Dennis Robertson, and you trust Mitch Frankel, his attorney, then maybe you say, all right, if it's Kawhi Leonard for the next 5 years, we will include Saric and Fultz.
But why would Kawhi do that? What motivation would Kawhi
have? He doesn't.
That's what
I'm saying. That's why if you're the Spurs, it's a leveraged trade.
Yeah.
And that's why the Lakers come back into this, because the Lakers, if that's where he wants to go, the Lakers may be more willing to throw in everything that they can, whereas other teams may not because it's a rental situation.
Right.
But I'll tell you something else.
My point is this. It's not like the Lakers have the Spurs over a barrel here because they can absolutely
create a market.
Boston, I think, would bid, believing they could keep him long term. Same with Philly. There's not even just one team in L.A., as we mentioned, with the Clippers. And then you might – like nobody saw Oklahoma City coming for Paul George.
Yeah, well, by the way, that would be a cautionary tale.
True.
They gave away some good pieces for possibly a rental.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Tim, you go to a lot of basketball games? Because, as I've been told, it's your job to go to basketball games, except when you're banned from arenas. What is the last live event you've gone to that you actually had to pay for?
You know what? I didn't go, but sent the daughters and the baby mama to a Taylor Swift concert.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. They're little girls. And so, you know, you definitely, when you're talking about Taylor Swift tickets, you definitely want to make sure, you're getting the best possible deal, because those tickets can get real pricey. And if you're looking for the best possible deal, SeatGeek will save you time and money, because they search all the ticket sites to compare prices and find the best deals. You get the most bang for your buck because they grade every ticket based on value, helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And if you know me, my budget ain't that big. And then every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it really, like I said, you don't worry about getting scammed. You know, you know you're going to get the best possible value. So SeatGeek's a good way to roll when you got to spring, you got to reach deep into the wallet to get those Taylor Swift tickets.
McMahon, are you a Taylor Swift fan?
No, but my daughters are.
Well, and but I mean, what? I'm
hey,
saying.
I
like,
will admit this. I'll sing along a little bit. And, you know, I've danced to Taylor Swift, but that's just being Father of the Year candidate.
What's your Taylor Swift jam? Don't act like you don't know what songs they are. Is it Style? Is it Shake It?
What's the one that haters gonna hate? Is that Shake It Off?
That's Shake It Off.
You gotta roll with a little Shake It Off. But no, look, if I was, those are the tickets I buy. But I mean, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, college sports, whatever, SeatGeek's the way to go. If it's your first SeatGeek purchase, listeners can get $20 off. You just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code HOOP today. That's promo code HOOP for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
I don't understand what it is, but I think almost every time we do these ads, someone is saying like, oh, I want to go catch a baseball game, blah, blah, blah. It's such a boring sport.
Some of the other writers went and watched the Yankees Astros the other night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that. I'd rather go to the bar and watch Celtics Sixers on TV.
Oh, you should have just said that.
Now let me bring up one more team that's being thrown out there. The Sacramento Kings.
Yes. Yes.
Who are highly motivated not to be bad next year because they don't have their pick.
Oh.
Think of the Spurs, because if I'm the Spurs right now, you know what I'm thinking? Holy hell.
You know what?
By this time next week, we could have Luka Doncic.
Dude, this is like and Pop and R.C. Buford negotiating with Vlade Divac and Vivek. I mean, that's like if LeBron's got an ISO against the slowest foot, like Boban or somebody. You know, I mean, geesh.
It's like those videos of Embiid playing pickup hoops with just like random dudes out in the
street. Exactly.
That's funny.
And he's merciless on him too, which I think is hilarious. the Kings have the number two pick. This is what the Kings dream about.
Oh, and Doncic with the Spurs, like, golly, what a beautiful fit that could be.
And it's plausible that the Kings will roll the dice giving up that number two pick for a 1 year rental, right?
Oh,
man.
Like, Adam Silver has to step in. He can't let this happen. I mean, it's just how many people would be calling the Kings, don't do it, don't do it.
Well, remember, though, they drafted Jimmer Fredette instead of Kawhi Leonard. They could have had Kawhi Leonard all along.
Well, let's not even start going down the rabbit hole of Kings debacles.
Well, they drafted a guy at number 11 who they released after a year. So,
and then and how about Stauskas, who they drafted at 8, I think it was, and then like paid to get rid of him a year later.
So that they could sign.
Matter of fact, that's the pick, isn't it? That's the pick the Celtics.
That's right.
My goodness.
So can you guys name their picks of the last? I mean, I'm just looking it up right now.
I think I might have played against a few of them this morning at the rec center.
Yeah, there you go.
And let me tell you, I went undefeated.
Well, they
forgotten about some of these.
Did you hear that humble brag he just dropped in there?
You're damn right.
Willie Cauley-Stein, De'Aaron Fox, yeah.
Marquise Chris, of course,
Papa Giannis.
They traded him. Papa Giannis, who got released.
Yeah.
McLemore. Like you said.
Ben McLemore.
McLemore.
Oh, man.
And these are all lottery and most
lottery picks.
Early
Thomas
lottery.
Robinson.
Thomas Robinson.
Thomas
Robinson. Okay, so how about this question?
Maybe the Kings should just get off number two to make sure they don't screw it up too early.
How about this question, Jackie, if you're looking at the list, when was the last time they drafted a guy and he got an extension? They've drafted in the lottery 12 straight years.
Yeah, because it wasn't even Boogie. Boogie didn't even get an extension.
No, he did.
Did he? Oh, that's right.
He's your choice.
He is Boogie.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was 8 years ago?
That's right. And then they traded him pretty quickly into that extension.
Man.
And he's like the only – now, look, De'Aaron Fox has a chance. It's obviously very early. But other than Boogie, name the last guy you'd say was a good value lottery pick for the Kings.
Do you remember the footage from the Stauskas? They're going around the room. Stauskas.
Yeah.
I like Nick Stauskas. He's followed me on Twitter for 10 years. So I feel I don't want to begrudge him.
You don't want to reduce that follower.
There's
count,
your humble way. Brag. So when I guess I'll just have to think up one before we sign off today.
Well, I would rather go undefeated and pick a basketball than have Nick freaking Stauskas follow me on Twitter.
Ouch. He's a proud Canadian, great player at Michigan. How dare you?
He was a good player at Michigan.
We listed like the teams that have assets that could be in the running for Kawhi. Tim, if you're in Kawhi's camp, and obviously like it's out there that the preference is the Lakers, mm-hmm. how would you rank these teams if you're Kawhi's camp?
Well, I don't know. Okay, I don't know how important LA is to him, so I don't know if it's like Lakers 1, Clippers 2. Just from basketball, Lakers, assuming that if Kawhi goes there, then they become the front runners for LeBron. And then I would go probably Celtics, Sixers. And by the way, all three of those would be extremely attractive situations.
Jackie, how would you rank these teams from the Spurs perspective of who they want to trade with? Obviously, Boston's number one.
Boston one. Yeah, I think Boston one. I mean...
Okay,
you know, if you're clearing the decks to get Kawhi and another big player, then maybe LA too, because you're going to get some young pieces that you like. It all depends on what you can get, right? But see, the reason why I think the Celtics would be one is because, again, I go back to the blue chip young players along with picks upon picks upon picks.
Kyrie and picks.
Woj just tweeted. And I mean, this in my viewpoint, okay, Brian Windhurst's viewpoint, not a report. This is
we should probably just alert the aggregators right now to jump on.
This is my opinion, not having spoken to anybody. Are we all clear?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read the tweet. Indiana had little interest in a Paul George trade with the Lakers, and that will be the case for the Spurs too. Boston gives the Spurs the best building block of assets.
Yep. We know
one of the young one of the young forwards, likely Jaylen Brown, its own 2018 pick, 2019 Kings pick, etc. Lonzo to the Spurs ? Don't hold your breath.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and again,
let me translate. Let me translate in my opinion. We clear?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Spurs extending a middle finger to Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And that's basically saying, even if we're not sending you the Lakers. It's a bad deal, but we're really not sending you the Lakers just because you want to go there.
Right. And again, Lonzo
and we all know how plugged in Woj is. We don't need to go through this with San Antonio.
Well, Woj has been on this story for months.
Yeah. Woj and Mike Wright have been telegraphing this thing for the entire season.
Yes, almost. We knew this was coming. We just didn't know that it was coming like this. It was coming today.
Yeah, and then Mike Wright and Ramon. I mean, this thing was a absolute breakdown in trust and everything else between Kawhi and the Spurs, and it's shocking because of who it is. But
is there any dark horse team out there that could come in out of nowhere and make an offer?
That dark horse team was Sacramento, right? Just comes out.
Well,
of nowhere.
Yeah, but you know, we're all talking about it, so.
I don't know.
Couldn't Memphis do something similar?
I'm thinking of another team.
Washington Wizards?
Okay, Washington's interesting, Jackie. They have the 15th pick, which is okay.
Right. Yeah.
They have Otto Porter, and they have Kelly Oubre. I don't think they'd beat a legitimate offer from, like, Philly or Boston, but...
Well, what if they give you Bradley Beal?
I'm still one out money. There. Minnesota?
Or John Wall.
I got one.
Who?
What about New Orleans?
You're not talking about AD.
No. What about Drew Holiday?
Not enough.
Not enough. Not nearly enough. Not Minnesota. Enough. I'm thinking of Cat. Where there's some relationship issues up there, as we
yes,
all
yes for
know.
Sure. I just don't know if you're Minnesota. Can you go into a season with Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard as free agents to be? I mean, it's an interesting topic.
I mean, they
it's
just went through
concept.
A dozen
no, I'll
year,
tell you what. I'll tell you what right now.
Process.
The answer is no because of who their owner is. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Their owner is still Glenn Taylor until further notice, right?
He's going to be Glenn Taylor.
Right. So he did the wink, wink. Remember? He did the most famous wink, wink ever. And got
no
put
doubt,
it down on
right?
Paper. So there's
Jackie,
no way that's happening.
Jackie, it should have been winks. They didn't do the wink.
They
that was
put
the
it
problem.
Down on paper. Unbelievable. I still, to this day, cannot believe that happened.
And the way it
still
got out was so amazing. It's like right out of a bad TV drama.
It really is.
Two agents sued each other, and it came out in Discovery.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to eliminate Minnesota for you.
It's an interesting concept, though, McMahon. That's it's kind of. Oh, so what would your Memphis situation be?
I mean, Memphis would be the number four pick and Parsons and something else.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're not taking Parsons.
Well,
right?
But the thing is if Luka is available at number four, and then you rebuild around Luka, and then Parsons is an expiring contract.
This is Kawhi Leonard.
It's the teams we said, I think. I mean, I can't even.
Would you rather have Luka Doncic, or would you rather have Kyrie Irving?
Like, based on the 3.5 minutes of YouTube highlights that I've seen of Luka, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that. But if you think he's a legitimate future superstar, I would say him because you're
He's
talking
19.
About a much longer window and
healthy.
An obviously clean bill of health.
A playmaking wing savant from Europe is like, could you construct a more perfect player for Popovich in a factory?
A more Spursy player?
Yeah. He can play point.
As Manu is heading for the sunset.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. Manu was not this good at 19. Now, it's not to say that...
Manu went 50, what, 8?
Right, right. Now, it's not to say that their makeup is going to be exactly the same, but I kind of think, actually, Manu is more athletic than this kid is.
Yeah, but he's not as big.
That's true.
We don't know,
Yeah, you're right, Jackie. I got to tell you, I'm getting ready. The Jump is having a 5-hour 5-hour draft show
next
week.
Not one, not two.
So I've been preparing for it.
I will be joining you, Brian.
Jackie, this is wonderful. Why can't we do it from Plum Island?
I tell you what, if it had gotten to about 15 hours, I might have made the cut.
Tim, by hour three, I might be speaking a different language. All right, for the sake of argument, let's say I think Bogdanovich is the most appealing of those players. Let's say your favorite young Kings player and the number two pick. Let's say that's the deal. All right. Now let's compare it to Boston and Philadelphia. If you're the Spurs,
I don't know, Jaylen. Man, I love Jaylen Brown. And if you can get picks on top of that,
too. I agree. I love Jaylen Brown, but Luka Doncic isn't coming in that trade. So it'd be like,
yeah, but I've seen Jaylen Brown be a proven impact two-way player who's got cojones factor in the playoffs.
He does.
And he's 21 and still 2 years left on the rookie deal and room to grow and get better.
What's crazy about those two offers is that the offers themselves are relatively similar, but Boston is set up to actually compete with Kawhi, and it's just like, what is Sacramento doing?
Yeah, Sacramento's hoping to chase an eight seed or something.
I mean, it would just be not relevant to the Spurs,
right?
Like, it would just, if Sacramento really gets involved, it's just such a bad idea.
Unless
they can somehow move to LA and have a third LA team,
but
by next summer,
they tried that.
But Brian, you're right. It's those two offers, like, they seem pretty close.
Okay, so now let's include Philly. Now let's say you're Sacramento, or let's say you're San Antonio. Also, by the way, what's the possibility? Like, there's some pretty strong venom here. When this first happened, I was wondering, maybe this is Kawhi's camp's way of making sure that they get the Supermax offer, because I'd want the 219. Like, maybe this is something that is out there, but
and then force a trade.
No. You can't get traded for a year on
those. They just keep them. And
in other words, this is how you get – because the Spurs made it clear – or I shouldn't say they made it clear. My read on it was the Spurs let them know the offer wasn't coming, and this was the way to force the offer. But there seems to be some venom here, so that this may really
seems
be
seems to be, huh?
Well, but I mean even in the last couple hours. So to me – The Lakers and Clippers can't even touch these other three teams' offers if they go that route. And so I don't even think the Lakers in the top three, and I don't think the Clippers are in the top four. And I'd have a hard time. It depends on how you feel. But thinking about it this way, now I'm thinking if you're the 76ers, you may have to have Fultz and Sarge, because you may have to. Of course, it's a 10th pick. You may have to do it just to outbid the other two offers.
But that's not good business.
Boston,
you gotta love your team. You gotta love your team, and you're not worry about whatever. You don't worry what everybody else is doing. You worry about what you're doing.
Boston and Philly don't. They don't offer nearly anything. Everything they have, unless they get that wink, wink commitment. Correct.
Well, or unless you're Philly or Boston, you say, well, if we don't get him.
That's true. But I think for the sake of this exercise, I don't think you can. I don't think you can assume a wink, wink with anybody. I think you're trading for them and you're rolling the dice.
Wow. Then if you're rolling the dice, I'm not giving you Kyrie Irving and I'm not giving you Jason Tatum.
But listen, if you're Boston and you get Kawhi Leonard. Who goes into next season as the favorite in the Eastern Conference? If you're Philly Kawhi Leonard, who goes into next season as the favorite in the Eastern Conference?
That's not how Danny Ainge thinks. So he had all those Brooklyn picks. He kept saving them. I was like, make a deal already. What are you doing? But he knew exactly what he wanted to do. And he waited. He was patient. He didn't care about criticism. He never has. It's unbelievable. And then he makes his deal. So for him to just go for 1 year with Kawhi, that's not what he's about. He's trying to build something here that's going to be 2, 3, 4 championships. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he's not looking for – this isn't a franchise that's never won a championship that everybody – this isn't Cleveland, okay? This isn't Sacramento. It's a team with a great history, a long history, and they can wait. And they can build their young players. And if it works out with Kawhi, that's fantastic. If it doesn't, hey, man, we're on a good pace – And we're not going for the quick fix. They just, that's just not how they operate.
All right. Well, we're running long here, but we're going to be talking about this for a while. So here's a question. 1 week from today, Friday morning. Well, it's Friday afternoon. Next Friday morning, is Kawhi Leonard on the Spurs?
I think it's a possibility. I think it's a possibility. However, I will say this, and Brian, you're the one that made this point all those months ago. He's got to be on the phone with LeBron right now so that two of them can figure it out together. If LeBron James opts in, what, a few days from now or next week?
Well, there's scenarios that exist where LeBron could still go to Philadelphia. Basically, Philly could trade half of their assets for Kawhi and the other half for LeBron.
Hmm.
But you can't tell me those two guys aren't talking. Of course they are.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like LeBron asked Paul George to dance, and then the slow dance came on, and Kawhi walked into the room, and he's like,
ooh, baby.
I think I'm going, wait, maybe. Oh, Stairway to Heaven. Wait for me.
Yeah. But I don't think
LeBron's listening to Stairway to Heaven.
And I feel better about this as we've talked this out, because this has kind of been a good workshop. The concept, I think a lot of people rushed to judgment that LeBron, Paul George, and Kawhi are going to end up on the Lakers. I don't feel good about that happening.
I don't either. It's too much. I don't see how they can pull it off. But they're moving parts. And like you said all the way back, Brian, Kawhi Leonard is the fly in the ointment for LeBron, both positively and negatively.
I just think they're connected. They're free agents.
They have to be.
Their futures are connected, even if they're not playing with each
other. Oh, no, I agree 100%.
You know.
They affect each other dramatically. So,
how about LeBron, Paul George, and Damian Lillard?
I'll tell you, you know what would be amazing would be if Boston gets Kawhi and Philly gets LeBron.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Man. And suddenly, the Warriors are still the Warriors, but suddenly the West is so much better. All that narrative runs its course.
That'd be super fun.
To your original question, if Kawhi is moved before this time next week, it at least spreads out our free agency a lot more, because I think all of you guys have predicted over the past couple of months that things are going to get crazy before the July 1st turnover date, not quite after.
The big factor is we didn't know it was going to happen with Kawhi. He's now in play before June 30, so that's a big factor. And we also still don't know whether LeBron's picking up that option.
Right.
That option is super duper valuable.
Right. And look, he's a free agent whether he picks it up or not, essentially. But then
that's
it's,
right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. He doesn't have to opt out. He doesn't have to say anything.
Does he force a trade or does he go the traditional free agency?
Well, I'll put it this way. If LeBron, let's say Boston makes the deal for, let's say Boston is the winner and LeBron doesn't feel great about the Lakers and doesn't feel great about his other options, the Cavs would make a deal with Philadelphia by June 30th.
Mm-hmm. Wow. God, that'd be fun.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Have a good weekend.
Nope. Say it again, please.
I hope it's all not me.
I did it again. Andrew, I need therapy.
He said therapy. At least he comboed on the collective podcast.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's great. I love that,
Andrew.
Actually.
Andrew, I need therapy.
We all need therapy.
Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Have a nice weekend. Oh my God!
This is like the fourth time, the fifth time.
I think you're low at four.
I think it's endearing.
Oh my God.